Bibles and open up to Matthew chapter 2, and we'll get right into the message. And this is why we're here. We're here for the Word of God. Amen. Singing is wonderful. I love it. I love it. I love it. But the Word of God is everything. Without the Word of God, we wouldn't be here. Without the Word of God, the earth wouldn't be here. The Word of God creates. The Word of God does everything. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, say amen when you're there, so I know you're there. If you turn me down a little bit, please. I can hear myself ringing, and I'm loud enough. I don't need that. Matthew 2, is everybody there? We're going to start in, if you would, please, we're going to start in verse 1. Matthew 2, verse 1. You there? You ready? I said no. Amen. He's almost, at least he's honest. Amen. I like that. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. It starts this way. You can catch up. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, who is the glory of the image, expressed image of yourself, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus, who by himself has purged our sins, by himself has defeated death, hell, the grave, the devil, and all his powers, by himself has secured and procured absolute eternal life for everybody, by himself and by his blood, all of our sins are remissed and forgiven. And Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for that wonderful, wonderful day when you gave the world your Son, the greatest gift in the world. But Father, because we know this, we should be as these men. We should be as wise men that seek the Lord. And we should seek the Lord for a purpose and a reason, and that is to worship you. There's nothing on earth, nothing in heaven, nothing in this universe that is worthy of worship but you. So we bow our hearts and our minds and our heads today to worship the newborn King. To worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And I pray that every heart in this place would prepare him room today. And I pray that he would be born in them. And they would receive also the gift of everlasting eternal life. We pray these things in your most wonderful name. Amen and amen. But the message today is about these three men. They're called the wise men. And the reason they're wise is not just because they one day woke up and they got a title. I went to school and I became wise. Going to school certainly doesn't make you wise. Amen. It's what we're lacking that today in this world. We're lacking wisdom. You know, people have a lot of intelligence about a lot of things, but they lack wisdom. Wisdom is the most important thing, the Bible says. But here I want to look at these three men this morning and go as fast as I can because I have a time limit. Okay, so try to keep up if you can. But I just want to let you know that these men came to worship. That's why they came. That's why they left their houses. That's why they left their lands. That's why they went on a long, long, tedious, hard journey for a purpose. And that purpose was to worship him. To worship the Son of God. And here today, we don't even have to go far. We just go out in the driveways, turn a key, hop in a car, and we're in our destination in minutes. And people think, well, it's too far to go to church. I'm just telling you, when you compare what these men are to us, we aren't doing very well. The thing is would we be called wise men if the Bible was written today? Would they say and tell a story about, oh, the baby was born, you know, celebrating, and wise men came to worship him? I don't know, but this is what I want you to understand, is that it's not about wise men, it's about worshipers. It's about true, honest-to-goodness, real, bona fide worship. And that's what the story is, because true worshipers are wise men. And wise men will truly worship. And that's what it's about. The story is about that. And I want you to understand one thing, is that these men came from a far place. They followed what the Bible says is a star. And what the star was light. They saw a light. And they followed that light. The Bible is very clear about light. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the light. That he's the light of the world. And the reason that these men got to see the star, got to be in the Bible, got to be on every manger scene and every story that's ever told of Christmas, these men are involved in, is because they were wise. Why? Because they were looking. Why does everyone miss the things of God? Because they're not looking, Rich. They're walking around busy. They're just not paying attention. Turn with me, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 4. Keep your hand where we were, because we're going to go right back there. But I want to talk to you about true worshipers today. And if there is a true worshiper, that means there's also a false worshiper. We're going to read this verse. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 2. But I want you to see something about worship and the importance of it. Are you there in Matthew chapter 4? Look with me in verse 9. Verse 9, it says, I'm in the wrong one. Matthew 4, 9 says this. It says, "And he said unto him, all things will I give thee, if thou will fall down and worship me." Who's speaking there, church? Who's talking? The devil's talking. The devil is talking to Jesus Christ himself, and the devil shows him all the powers of this earth. He shows him all the riches of this earth. He shows him everything that you could ever worldly have. And he says this to him, "If you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you it all." I want you to know that the devil wants to worship. The devil doesn't hate worship. He just wants to be the one worshipped. See, the devil doesn't hate God. The devil wants to be God. The devil just wants to have your hearts, to have your minds, to have your spirits, to have your thoughts on him. Because he's an egotistical maniac. It's all about him. It always has been about him and always will be about him. And he will do anything in his power to get your worship. And the truth of the matter is, you say, "Well, I would never worship the devil." Right? How many people would say, "I would never worship the devil"? Amen. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, you're scaring me a little bit. But I would never worship the devil either. But the thing is I want to show you something in a minute. Keep reading. It says, "And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." See, it is written, him only. Him only. Problem is, as we say, "I would never worship the devil," if you're not worshiping God and him only, you are worshiping the devil. You just don't know, because he's slick willy. He's sly. He's not going to come and appear to you and say, "I'm the devil, worship me." He's going to be the God of the world and everything in it and get you to worship everything else. And that's what Christmas kind of turned into. Instead of worshiping Jesus, we worship, you know, the toys and the trees and the lights and the this and the candy and the... Well, I don't think we worship fruitcake much. We kind of pass that on. Everyone has a fruitcake. It's probably from Grandma in 1977. Because I know I got one. So they never die. You notice they never get old. I don't know what's in them. But maybe they have eternal life and you need to eat a piece. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is we worship a lot of things around Christmas time. And that's not wise. Amen? And here I'm telling you right now, God is giving us a story about three wise men. Why were they wise? Because they came afar to worship. And they knew what they were worshiping. If you would please turn back with me to Matthew chapter 2. Are you there? For sake of time, keep your hand there. Turn to John chapter 4. I'm going to get this out of the way so I won't have to turn anymore, and then I can just talk with you. John chapter 4. Say amen when you're there. Just remember, the devil wants worship. The devil wants worship. Wise men will only worship the Lord. John chapter 4, if you're there, look in verse 19 with me, please. It's Jesus' encounter with a young lady. And in verse 19 of chapter 4, it says, "The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." So many people think Jesus is just a prophet. Oh, he's so much more than that. It says in verse 20, the woman says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father." And he said these words, "You worship you know not what." And I thought about this, and the Spirit of God was helping me to understand, you worship you know not what. You don't know what you're worshiping. People would say, if I asked every one of you, probably everyone would say, "I would never worship the devil." But yet the devil is the God of everything in this world. He's in control of everything just about. And that's just the way it is. And guess what? It's been given to him by God. He actually took it from Adam and back in the Garden of Eden. But that's a whole other story. And here the devil shows Jesus everything in the world. It says, if you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything. You know the old story where it says that what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So we've heard these stories, but the truth of the matter is the devil wants worship. This woman that Jesus is having an encounter with says, oh yeah, well, we worship here. You said we're supposed to worship there. Everybody's worship is different. You know, like the Muslims worship, the Catholics worship, the Baptists worship. Everyone seems to be worshiping something different. We're all supposed to be worshiping one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, people say, well, God, well, Allah's God, this is God, that's God. I don't know about you, money's God in some people's forms. You go to AA and a chair can be God. It doesn't matter what your God is. But it matters deeply because God was manifest in the flesh. And we're going to celebrate a day called Christmas, which is about Jesus Christ. It's not about money. It's not about other gods. It's not even about the Father. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen? And He is the center of all worship because God said that He's the light of the world. God said He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the sacrifice. He is everything. He's the only way that you can ever approach to a heavenly Father. He's the only way. And He is supposed to be adored and worshiped. Come, let us adore Him. We sing those songs. Oh, Christ the Lord. That's what the whole purpose is, for us to love Him and to worship Him. But I'm here to tell you, today, we don't know what we're worshiping. At least most people. Keep reading. Look with me. It said in verse 22, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. And look what He said, for salvation is of the Jews. You know what? The reason He said we know what we worship, because I'll tell you right now what the most important thing in your life is right now. It's salvation. It's salvation. That's all. What it's always been about. It's not about money and riches and cars. It's not about jobs and houses and things. It's about salvation. Are you saved today? Do you know for a fact that you have salvation? That Christ lives and dwells in you? You know, you cannot have it unless you worship it. You cannot have it unless you have some kind of wisdom to know to seek it, to look for it, to go after it. And when you find it, you'll know, and you'll worship it. Keep reading. Look what it says. Verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the... Say it, church. Ready? True worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is seeking those kind of people to worship Him. It says in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I love that verse where He said, you know not what you're worshiping. That means everybody's worshiping something. Worshiping themselves. Most people, you know, I don't know, but if you kind of took little clips of people and you see how we put on clothes and you see how we bathe ourselves and some people makeup on and their hair done and maybe go out shopping and maybe this. There's guys today, and don't get mad if you're one of them, but when I'm old school, they get tans and they get nail things. I've never seen guys do that before, but I hear they do that now. And they, you know, they're like a girl and they kind of take care of themselves. I think that's kind of a will worship thing. And they also, people worship their television sets. I'll tell you right now, I like my TV, and the bigger the better. But guess what? Your TV goes off, your TV stops working, how long do you go without it? How long do you go without getting it fixed or going buying a new one or going in hock for a new one? Truth of the matter is we worship things we don't even know we're worshiping. You know, we worship our children. Our children are like number one in front. You got our children, then you got God somewhere below that. Because if our children say jump, we jump. Children say, drive me here, we drive here. Children got to practice. I'm just here to tell you, we worship a lot of things. We don't understand what we're worshiping. And Jesus said this. He said, God's looking for the true worshipers. And that's what the message is about, is these true worshipers. Now back to Matthew. We're going to continue on where we were and read the rest of the story. Chapter 2, verse 2 says, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Wise men will look. Wise men will ask. If you're wise today, have any wisdom in you at all, the first thing you'll do is, okay, where is he? I want to know. Because I need salvation. If you don't think you need salvation, you're not very wise at all. Because your life's going to be over soon. I don't know if it's today. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's 50 years from now, but it's going to be over. And anybody that's over 50, how many people are over 50? If you don't want to admit it, it's okay. But I'm well over 50. And the truth of the matter is it went fast. I still remember high school. You know what I mean? And then when I look on Facebook and see the people from high school, I say, never mind. I'm glad I went. The truth of the matter is life's quick. Come on, can I get an amen? Before you know it, your children are grown up. Before you know it, you got grandchildren. I'm going to be a great grandfather soon. Not that she's pregnant yet, but I know it's going to happen within the next couple of years. I'll be a great grandfather. I mean, I'm only 26. I had a rough life. Being a pastor is tough on you, man. Amen. But life is over fast. How many people are 20 years old and below? Raise your hand. All right. Very, very few. Very few. Rick, you're supposed to be downstairs with the kids then, are getting candy and chocolate chip cookies and stuff. Why are you not getting presents? They're handing out cash. They're handing out money, $10 bills. All right, it's okay. You can stay up here because he likes his grandpa. But the truth of the matter is life's over quick. And the worst part is there's sicknesses, there's diseases, there's car accidents, there's crazy stuff that happens that you never know when your time is up. You ought to be thinking about your salvation. You ought to, more than anything else, get it settled where you're going before you die. Because once you die, it's too late. And that's what the whole story of Christmas is. It's a gift of salvation. You ought to be searching for salvation in that manger. You ought to be searching for salvation in Christmas. You ought to be searching for salvation. If you're wise, you'll search. And it says here, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. How many people have seen the light? How many people know what the light even looks like? So many people have their eyes closed. They don't know what's going on in this world. God could be... Come on, give me that. Ringing your bell and you don't pay attention. God could be smacking you in the head. Oh, I don't know what's going on in my life. Oh, why is this happening to me? God's like, hello? God's a spirit. He's trying to get a hold of you spiritually. Why do you think you're in church today? God brought this man right out of the army just to get what happened to get married. Amen. You know why he's getting married? Because she is cute. I mean, she's adorable. But he's getting married because he's got Jesus Christ inside of him. Put your faith in Christ. You call upon him. Yeah, just like in the service, you make a vow. You say, salute him, the captain. Is he your general? Jesus is the captain? Jesus is more than that. He's the king. He's the king. Kings don't need captains, amen? But he wants to do the right thing. And he wants to get married. As a God in the church. And we're going to have a little wedding in a few minutes, amen? Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Because he wants to do what's right. Well, doing what's right, there's only one thing. To do what's right. God said, true worshipers, they worship Jesus Christ. Keep reading. Look what it says. It says in verse 3, and Herod the king was, when he had heard these things, he was what? He was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Let me tell you something. When true worshipers show up, the false worshipers get troubled. When true Christians show up, the false Christians don't like it. Because they, true worshipers, you know what they do? And I'm not, trust me, I'm just giving you the story, okay? Don't get mad at me. If you got eggs and fruitcake, don't throw them. But the truth of the matter is, when you are around a true worshiper, they don't worship in secret. When you're around a true worshiper, they don't sing quiet. When you're around a true worshiper, they let it known, be known, who they love, who they care about, who they serve, who it is they bow before. They are not ashamed of whom they worship. They worship Jesus. So they're going to be louder, prouder, happier, shouter. They're going to be real because they really love Him. They're real. That's what a true worshiper is. They're real. These three wise men were called wise by God because they came for a purpose. The purpose, we come to worship Him. And I'm here to tell you right now, there's many, many false worshipers in the world and in every church. And the reason they're false is because they know not what they're worshiping. And that's what this message is about today, is to make the difference between the false worshipers and the true worshipers. You know, you can go to many churches and it'd be packed out, and you go to many churches that are small. It doesn't really matter, but in each church, there's true worshipers. But in each church, there's many false worshipers. And this is one of the reasons and how you're going to know whether you're a true worshiper or a false worshiper, because true worshipers are going to make you troubled. They're going to make you uncomfortable. Look in verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently. Pay attention to this. He tells them, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that what? I may come and worship him. See, false worshipers say they want to worship, but they don't. False worshipers say, I love Jesus, but they don't. False worshipers love Christmas, but they don't worship the baby, the child, or the Son of God, or God. They worship so many other things. And that's the difference between a false worshiper and a true worshiper. Look at this little scene. We got the wise men here. Yeah, look. These wise men, they called them kings. Nobody knows if they were kings or not, but they were certainly wise. Keep reading. And it says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east. Check this out. They didn't see the star in Israel. They saw the star in the east. They saw the light where they were, and they left where they were to follow the light, because when God gives light, you're supposed to follow. When God starts to reveal things to you, you're supposed to pay attention and follow. And I don't know about you, but many a soul I have dealt with, and just like this king brought me in, they say, and they inquired diligently and asked questions. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? And I answered their questions, and they were given light, but they didn't want to see it. There's so many people that are not following the light that God has given you. Right now, God has given people, and everyone in this room, light. But some people see it, and other people don't. And look what it says here. It says in verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know what that means? That means true worshipers love light. Not only do they love the light, but when they see light and come in contact with light, it makes them, hallelujah, they get excited about it. Amen? When I learn something about God, when I find something out about God, I get excited. I mean, you know, it's the greatest thing in the world to be near God, to be near that light, to be near that source of life and power and love and joy. There's nothing greater than to be near God. Nothing. And when I get close to God sometimes, I get excited, man. I enjoy joy. Look what it says here. Verse 11, it says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down. And what'd they do, church? They worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And look at this last verse. It says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country. Look what it says, another way. Let me just tell you, when you're a true worshiper, when you truly find the Lord, and you truly worship the Lord the way you're supposed to worship, you know, you'll never leave the same. You'll never leave the same. How many people have prayed sometimes, rich, soft? Others, they said, Lord, when we opened the service, they prayer, and they said, Lord, let us live not the same way we came in. Because when you assemble together in the church, you're supposed to come to worship him. You're not coming to see what so-and-so's wearing. Or you're not coming to see how long the pastor are going to go today. Oh, boy. You know, why do you even hear that? You're supposed to come to worship him. You're supposed to come to worship him. If it's not all about him, then who's it about? I'll tell you who it's about. How many people are looking, thinking about, what am I going to eat today? You know? Where am I going to go? I got Christmas shopping to do. I got presents to do. I got to decorate my tree. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. We're so busy with so many other things, and we don't understand. This is the one day that God said, this is my day. It's called the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. It's not even your day. It's His day. And true worshipers understand that, and they come to worship. And I appreciate you coming here today, but I don't want you to leave the same way you came in. I want you to leave with something different about you. Amen? This is what I want to get before I hurry up and try to finish this. I don't know why that clock moves faster in here. But true worshipers, they come from near and they come from far. Nothing can stop a true worshiper on Sunday morning to come to church. I'm just telling you straight out. If you're one of those people say, oh, well, you know, I'm busy today. What day is it? It's Sunday. If your children ever have to ask you, are we going to church today? You're a false worshiper. If your children ever have to ask, are we going to church? That means that they're used to you not going to church. If you ever have to drag yourself, literally drag yourself here, you're not a true worshiper. True worshipers are like these wise men. They'll do whatever it takes, walk as far as it takes, long as it takes, get there one way or the other. That's a true worshiper, because they're coming, they know from what they is that they worship. I want you to let you know that they come from near and afar. The marks of a true worshiper, one is they're looking. They're looking. Their eyes are open for the light of God. They're seeking for the light. So don't miss it. God's a spirit. He's a spirit, Jesus said. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. So the problem is we have bodies and we have souls, but our spirits are dead. And that's when Jesus will come into you and He will enlighten your spirit and give you being born of the Spirit, and you'll have a very great spiritual life. I just want you to realize that why did they see it and no one else? Because they were looking. Let me move on. Isaiah 55:6 says this. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. The light of the glorious gospel." You know, I want to ask you that question. Why did only the wise men see the star? Why is there only certain people that get saved? Why is it the grace of God has appeared to all men? Jesus Christ died for everybody. Well, how come not everybody gets saved? Because not everyone's looking. And they don't see the light that has been presented. And it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, listen to this verse. It says, "In whom the god of this world," that's the devil, "has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them." I'm just here to tell you, it says, who is the image of God? The devil has blinded our minds that he doesn't care what we worship as long as we don't worship Him. Amen? Jesus. Say, I want you to just hear it because I got to hurry. Say Jesus for me. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it again.
Jesus.
One more time.
Jesus.
Never be ashamed of that word or that name. The devils quake at that name. You got addiction problems. You got problems in your life. Start saying, "Jesus!" The devils will flee at the name of Jesus, because He is the only one true living power of God that can deliver us from all the powers of darkness and open our eyes to see what is really right in front of us. Many people around this time think, "I'm not loved." They don't see the people that love them right in front of them. People think, "I don't have any self-worth." They don't see the worth that they have. They don't know what's really going on in their life. You're so loved. You're so worth. Are you kidding me? God loves you so much. We love you. People love you. Mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles. But people feel alone because the devil has blinded their minds. You know what they came for? They said, we're seeking a kingdom. They're looking for a king. There's no kingdom without a king. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." That means seek ye first Jesus Christ and His salvation. Seek ye first Jesus Christ and His salvation, and all the rest of these things will be added unto you. I want to hurry up and say this, but without a king, there's no kingdom. We need a king. You need a king. You need a king in your life. And the devil's probably the one who's there on the throne right now. You need to kick yourself off the throne. You need to kick the devil off the throne and get Jesus on the throne in your heart. Amen. Can I say an amen with that? True believers or true worshipers, they seek the Lord with their whole hearts. And they come. They leave their homes. They do whatever it takes. And they find Him. Matthew 7:7 says, "Seek and you shall find." Open our eyes today. Don't leave here the same as we came in. Let's seek the Lord. God brought you here. You might say, "No, the wedding did." Yeah, right. Tell that to God. He knows what He's doing. He's got you here, hook or crook. He's got you here one way or the other. He wants you to think about Him. He wants you to receive Him. He wants you to believe in Him. He wants you to have eternal life. And so do I. And so does everyone that loves you. Let me finish with this. True worshipers seek diligently. And the Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I'm asking you, please, diligently seek God. He's a spirit. You don't need me. You don't need church. None of this stuff can save you. It's a person that can save you. His name is Jesus Christ. He loves you. He gave His life for you. He's kind and He's considerate, and He knows what you're going through right now. He knows what's happening in your life, and He brought you to this point in your life, and He's shining light right upon you. Please follow that light. Follow it right to the manger. Follow it right to the cross. Follow it right to Jesus, because He's the only one that can save you. And He'll save you like that. Amen? True worshipers seek diligently. True worshipers follow the light that's given. True worshipers rejoice when they get the light. True worshipers fall down before Him. True worshipers adore Him. True worshipers know who they worship. True worshipers know how to worship. You know, the truth of the matter is how do you worship? When you meet Him, and you get to just you and Him, you know how to worship. You fall down, you worship. True worshipers, they're different. You know why? Because they give God their best. True worshipers give God their best. These wise men were called wise because what they do, they left all. They sought Him, they found Him, they fell before Him, and they gave. True worshipers will give God everything. True worshipers won't hold back. True worshipers, because they know that the source of everything they have is from God. So the more you give God, the God said, the more I'll give you back. It's just the way it is. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let me hurry up and finish this. Gold is the purity, the pure divinity of God, but it's pure love in our hearts. True worshipers give pure love to God. They don't give a false love. It also says that frankincense. Frankincense is a spice that comes from a tree that they burn, and God says that it is the prayers of the saints. So true worshipers not only give God their hearts, true worshipers give God their praise. They give God their prayers. I mean real prayer. And the third one is myrrh. And myrrh was used for burning. And when Jesus was taken down from the cross, they put myrrh and they wrapped them up. You know what that means? True worshipers come to give God their best. True worshipers come to give God what they have. If you have a penny, give him a penny. Because in all reality, the Bible says where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And I'm afraid that Christians today, when it comes to Jesus, on Christmas, they'll spend more on one child than they will on Jesus. They'll spend more on themselves sometimes. Or maybe getting their hair done. Maybe getting their nails done. Maybe just some coffees and lattes at Wawa. Then they give to God. And then when the church has no money to help anybody or has no money, then they just still blame somebody. Oh, all they want is money. God, the church doesn't need money. God doesn't need money. He wants your heart. He's got your heart. He's got your money. Amen? So what did they do? They gave him gold. They gave him frankincense for their prayers. They gave him myrrh. You know what myrrh is? It's sacrifice. It's for death. It's for burial. Give God your heart. Give God your life. How many people can right now, because I got to finish, can trust God with their life right now? How many people can give God right now whatever it is you have in your heart, the love that you have in your heart, can you give it to God right now? I'm going to ask you because I'm out of time. It's later than I expected. But please let me just read this verse to you. Romans chapter 12, you're familiar with it? 1 and 2, it says, brethren, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, that's the devil, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your lives. I'm here to tell you right now, true worshipers, there are true worshipers and there are all false worshipers. There's true and false. There's wise and unwise. Which one are you going to be today? If you can transform your life today by stopping everything you believe, by just throwing out all the junk that's in your mind right now, throwing out all the junk that's in your heart, and coming and seeking God, just Him, has nothing to do with this church or any church. It has to do with a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to celebrate in a couple days. I was going to say wedding. In a couple days, we're going to celebrate the birth of the Savior of the world. Let me ask you a question. How many people believe He's the Savior of the world? My question to you is, how many people know that He's your Savior? With every head bowed and every eye closed, and nobody looking around at this time, I'm going to ask the piano player to come on up. And I'm going to ask the true worshipers, I'm going to ask you, take 2 or 3 minutes out of your time, and maybe you can be like the wise men, and maybe you can get up out of your seats right now. Why don't we all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. This is just for the true worshipers. If you feel at all the light of God or the Spirit of God, why don't you leave your seat and come to this old-fashioned altar and bow, and just pretend that you're at the feet of Jesus. Pretend you're at that manger scene. And what the true worshipers do, they come. They come. They fall down. They give God their best. Make room. Squeeze over. They give God their best. Give God your heart right now. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. Be a true worshiper. For God sees your heart. Why don't you right now bow before the Lord? Why don't you right now offer Him what you do have? Why don't you offer Him your love? Why don't you say, Lord, You are pure. You are pure. You are holy. And I am not holy. I ask You, Lord, to come into my heart right now and make me holy. Make my heart pure, that I can love you with a pure heart. Make my life pure, Lord, that I can live a pure life for you. Make my prayers pure, Lord. Make my life pure by the blood that your Son in this cradle raised up and grew up and gave his life's blood to pay for my sin. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I bow before you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I worship thee and thee alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you, Jesus, save my soul. Save me, Lord, from my sin. Save me from the devil. Save me from hell, the grave. And give unto me forgiveness and mercy and grace. Give unto me eternal life today. Let today be Christmas in me. Let today be the day that you're born in me. There's room in my heart for you, Lord. Come in, I pray. I worship you. I worship the God of heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you so much. And I give you my best. I give you my money. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you my children. I give you my family. I give you my wife. I give you all that you would take it and bless it and multiply it and make it more. Help me, Lord, to do what's right in this world, that I can be a blessing to other people as you're a blessing to me. And I'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. As you make your way back to your seats, forgive me, I'd like to have a longer altar call, but we have a little wedding to take place. As music plays and as people go back to their seat, I'm going to just ask somebody out there. I know the Lord is speaking to somebody. I'm going to ask that person to please don't leave today till you know that you know that you have salvation. Till you know that Jesus is in you. Please don't leave. Please be seated, everyone.